Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Round spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
Long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Welcome, everybody, to Wildfire Radio, Small Bites. I'm Donato Marino with DNL Bean to Barista Service. All your needs for your espresso cappuccino machine and beyond.
And I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. Beautiful sunny day today. I feel spring in the air, especially little green, little memories of Ireland. Isn't that right, Don?
That's correct. That's correct. Now, I know spring is coming because I started planting my fava beans.
Oh, but the green reminds me of Irish things.
Oh, yes. anybody's doing anything? March 5th, Terry's 2 in Fallcroft, Pennsylvania. We're having our, I think it's 11th annual Shamrock and Roll bus trip. 7 bars, 4 buses, no cost to get on the buses. We'll be located at 1541 Chester Pike, Fallcroft. The bus starts running at 2 o'clock and ends at 8.
God bless anyone who lasts more than 3 bars. Good grief, 7 bars. But that's a good way to actually start the weekend and end it for the following weekend as well.
You start the 5th, and then you work up to the actual St. Patrick's Day on the 17th. So you have to do baby steps before you do the big
clunk. Got to crawl before you can walk. But do you know where the real celebration lies? The real celebration lies when we talk to
John Howard Fusco.
How's it going tonight, John?
Evening, guys. How are we all doing?
We're doing fantastic. You like that, John? Do you like the way we segue into you, buddy?
It's always an adventure every time I come on. I never know how it's going to get to me, but you guys managed to land the plane every time.
I just close my eyes and pray. That's what I do every week.
So I want to talk about Jean Georges, which we finally be reopening at the Four Seasons in Center City. It's the big story this past week. Philly Mag reports that the restaurant will be opening its doors again on March 10th after a long absence. So again, Jean Georges at the Four Seasons reopening on the 10th of March. I want to mention another new restaurant in Philly, Olea. This is a new Mediterranean BYOB that recently opened on Art Street in Old City. The menu is modest, needing more Italian style, but they'll be involving the menu as they go. This is according to Michael Klein at the Inquirer. So again, Olea, a new Mediterranean BYOB in Old City. On the Jersey side, a lot of talk about the Fair Porter. This is a new casual dining spot opening this Thursday, March 3rd on Kings Highway in Haddonfield. The menu features an interesting array of burgers, fries, milkshakes, and non-alcoholic cocktails. Also coming to Kings Highway on Haddonfield later in summer, look for Wild Feather Distilling. This is a new distillery that will be occupying the historic Jennings House on Kings Highway in Haddonfield. A couple of restaurant weeks to mention that are starting this week. East Pass Junk's Restaurant Week starts today and runs through March 11th. And once again, Haddonfield, we're mentioning Haddonfield again. Their Restaurant Week starts on March 1st and goes through March 6th. And finally, I want to give a congrats to Corinne's Place in Camden, which was one of the 6 recipients of the James Beard America's Classics Award for 2022. It's a very prestigious honor to recognize local establishments and their connection to the community. So you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Eating Nest Jersey, as well as on the South Jersey Food Scene website and Facebook page.
Thank you very much, sir. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, John. Have yourself a wonderful night, and we'll talk to you again in a little while.
All right, guys. Have a good evening.
Awesome.
Yeah, Don, I mean, John's always full of knowledge, but I just have a feeling. Do you have a feeling, Don?
I have a feeling.
And without a doubt, I just knew as soon as I walked in studio that this very own show was going to be an excellent show. And do you know why?
Excellent.
You just like can't
the, like the sorry, Lisa.
Don,
like to welcome Lisa.
Don
Steele
has cracked himself up. Don has cracked. But Lisa already knows that we are a very punny group here, and Lisa is known, I kid you not, she has been dubbed the Queen of the Coop. That is her official title.
Queen of the Coop.
Queen of the Coop. And she has released a latest cookbook, the Fresh Eggs Daily Cookbook, over 100 fabulous recipes to use eggs in unexpected ways. I'm sure some are more unexpected than others. It's a PG show, so we've got to keep it clean. But we want to hear from you, Lisa, the Queen of the Coop. I know you're calling in from Maine. I had a wonderful time up there this summer, and that's usually the only time I usually personally enjoy Maine, because other than that, it's a little too cold for my personal comfort. But thanks for so much for calling in. How you doing tonight?
Hi, it's good to be back. I had forgotten how punny you guys were.
We try our best here. So you've come out with a new book. You've got over 100 fabulous recipes, and you're telling us everything that someone doesn't know about eggs. Where did the inspiration come for this latest project?
Well, I've written 6 books about raising chickens, and I really didn't have anything else to say about that. But I have, over the last 12 years, encouraged, enabled, whatever you want to call it, tens of thousands of people to start raising chickens. So I figured they all have a lot of eggs, and they don't know what to do with them. So I thought an egg cookbook was just the next natural step.
Without a doubt. And, to me, a true breakfast starts with eggs. I mean, how about you, Don?
I like over easy.
Over easy.
A little salt and pepper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's the way to start your morning properly.
That's the way I start mine.
So how about you, Lisa? What was one of the things that you found that you enjoyed putting into the book for the ways that you enjoy eggs? Because obviously you have to include many different varieties and recipes, so the book is encompassing of all flavors and tastes. But sometimes it's good to throw a little flair in of what you personally enjoy. What's some of the
Correct.
Things that you personally enjoy that was thrown into the book?
Well, the cover photo, which just was a coincidence that I was in on the discussions and the team to pick the photo, but I didn't personally choose it. But Eggs Benedict, if I had a Last Supper or could only eat eggs one way the rest of my life, it would absolutely be Eggs Benedict. Once you learn how to make a really good hollandaise sauce, I mean, you just can't beat that.
That is without doubt. I mean, that's the way. And talking of hollandaise, you definitely, I'm sure you enjoy the wonderful bounty of the seas up in Maine, because when I was up there, it was Lobster Benedict on practically every menu that I saw. So you can't go wrong up there with that recipe.
No, you can't. And I didn't include that. I debated, you know, trying, but then I was running up against my deadline and I didn't really have time to test a recipe. But honestly, sometimes I don't even use the bread. I just make a puddle of hollandaise on a plate and put an egg on top. And it doesn't have to be poached. You could do an over easy. You could do a fried egg. You could even do scrambled eggs with hollandaise sauce. You know, there's really no rules.
Without a doubt. Now, one of my joys that I enjoy for an egg in the morning is an egg on a bagel. Oh, I love bacon, egg, and cheese on a bagel. There's just so many different, literally, an egg is so versatile. And even one of the things that I enjoy for an egg, I haven't seen your book yet, but one of the things that I enjoy is especially eggs in like Asian cuisine, where say it's a hot ramen or something, they'll just drop the egg in there and you watch it cook right there, and it adds such the amazing flavor, and you pop the yolk. Egg is such a wonderful, wonderful ingredient.
No, I agree. And the book, it does have a lot of breakfast or brunch recipes, but I mean, there's nothing wrong with having an omelet for dinner. You know, I don't like to put things in categories, but there also are a lot of more hearty dinner recipes, and I love egg drop soup. You can, like you said, you can drop an egg really in any kind of soup or hot broth and either leave it whole or swirl it around so you get like those ribbony things like the egg drop soup does. And it adds great protein, great flavor. You know, it makes that soup more hearty. I mean, there are just so many things you can do with eggs.
Now, also, another thing that I really enjoyed this portion that I read about the preview of the book is that you're going to give the readers some information about what the different labels on grocery store egg cartons mean. And I think, let's see if I'm right on this one, Don, because I saw it a long time ago. I think the numbers correspond to the day of the year that the eggs were actually procured. Is that correct?
Put in the carton, correct. Yes, it's kind of sneaky.
Put in the carton.
Put in the carton. So they were laid probably a few days before, but close enough. So the three-digit code tells you that. It's kind of sneaky. They don't come right out and tell you that, say, 021 corresponds to January 21st. And all the way through to December 31st. So if you glance at the cartons, you can tell which eggs are the freshest by picking the highest number, which is going to be the date closest to the day you're buying the eggs.
See, did you know that, Don?
I didn't know that.
Just look at that.
Such a knowledgeable show.
It's not just all fun and games and silliness going on here. Darn it, we are an educational program as well. But
that's right.
What is the average that you would say for mass producers? Obviously, the general public, for the most part, are just going to normal grocery stores. What is the average numbers that you should see on an egg carton relate to what you're seeing in the grocery store? Is it usually like 2 weeks, a week? What's the lifespan of an egg?
I just went, because I'm doing a lot of cooking demos to promote my cookbook, a lot of TV cooking, and I didn't have enough eggs because our chickens are lazy freeloaders this time of year and not laying eggs. So I had to go buy eggs, which I don't normally do. I bought 6 dozen from 3 different producers. They were between 20 and 21 days old.
Okay.
So you figure, you know, I buy them, I put them in my fridge, I might not use them for another week or 2 or 3 weeks. So now you're talking 6, 7, 8 week old eggs. So they're not really as fresh as you think. I mean, you could luck out, but I'd say on average, the average supermarket egg is probably about a month old.
Without a doubt. So, I mean, that goes to show you right there. That's the advantages of being able to go farm fresh. I mean, we've always recommended farm fresh because, as we all know, the flavor is going to be there. The nutrients are going to be richer because obviously it's fresher. But it's interesting that like we were saying, the average consumer does not know that it's much longer than you would expect what you're picking up, even if you're like, hey, I just brought some fresh eggs. Not as fresh as you thought.
It's as fresh on the package.
And they will last for probably a good 2 months. But like you said, they're going to lose flavor. They're going to lose texture. They're just going to act differently. I'm not saying everyone has to raise chickens, although it's a really wonderful thing. But you can find a farmer's market. You can find a friend or a neighbor. You know, drive around your neighborhood. So many people are raising chickens now, and just do yourself a favor and find some real fresh eggs and you'll notice the difference.
Without a doubt. And also, one of the things that you mentioned releasing the book is that you were able to discover new and exciting ways to incorporate fresh eggs into your cooking and baking repertoire each and every day. What are some of the things that surprise you? Because as you said, you've been around the egg game for a very long time. I mean, you're one of the most well-versed individuals when it comes to raising chickens, eggs, and things of that nature. You're the go-to authority, bottom line.
I'm the queen of the coop.
Exactly. You are the queen of the coop. What was it that you found new and exciting? What are some of the new and exciting things that you found through this process?
Cocktails, egg white foam on a whiskey sour is really wonderful. I've been perfecting that. Even since the book has come out, I feel like I still need to test those recipes. But also making your own marshmallows, your own sprinkles, like for cupcakes, making your own hollandaise sauce, Caesar salad dressing, pudding. I mean, a lot of the things that you buy, you can easily make, and there aren't really many more ingredients than eggs and, you know, maybe some cream or butter, sugar, whatever. Lots of condiments, and all kinds of things.
Yeah, without a doubt. And like you said, I wouldn't have even thought of a beverage. That actually sounds pretty good, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, lately they've been putting a lot of egg whites on alcoholic beverages.
Oh, yeah. See, the Don is surprising me with this knowledge.
I went on one of our excursions, and one of their signature drinks was, I can't remember exactly what they called it now, but yeah, it had a layer of egg white, not a whole layer, but it had it whipped into it. So you had it looked like a foam across the top of the drink.
Oh,
it's really
man,
nice. It has a really nice texture.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm just going to feel, I'm just going to leave the studio and let you and Lisa talk. I feel as though I've been left out of this trend.
It won't be the first time. Lisa, I got a question for you. When I travel to Europe, I notice, like my aunts and uncles, they all have their eggs sitting on top of the counter, not even in the refrigerator.
Right.
What is your take on that, or explanation, or why do we have them here refrigerated in the United States and a lot of European countries just keep them on the counter?
Because the United States is afraid of food. They're afraid of raw milk. They're afraid of medium rare steaks or in the United States, when you sell eggs commercially, you have to wash them first. And that's really a shame, because when an egg is laid, the hen puts a protective coating over the shell. It's invisible, and it keeps the air and bacteria out of the egg. So it keeps the egg fresher. It keeps it from going bad. And in the United States, by law, you have to wash that off. And it doesn't really make any sense, because that's what's keeping the egg fresh and safe to eat. So in Europe and most of the rest of the world, that's not the case. And so the eggs don't have to be refrigerated. They can stay out on the counter, and they last a lot longer.
So if you buy fresh eggs from a farm, you can basically leave them on the counter, because they should have the protective.
Right. Yeah. You can ask the farmer, or at the farmer's market, just ask if the eggs have been washed. And if they haven't, then they don't have to be refrigerated. They'll last even long if they are refrigerated. So I only keep maybe, you know, a bowl full on the counter, and I do refrigerate the rest. But if I'm going to use them within a couple of weeks, I don't worry about refrigerating them.
Very interesting. Good. A plus for you today, Don.
Sometimes I have a good few minutes.
Excursions about with some socialites and European vacation questions. I like it. But one of the things that we always ask, and it's always a difficult question for all the authors of cookbooks, is we like to know what your favorite recipe in the book is, because obviously we want anyone who purchased the book to go out and try your personal favorite. What was your personal favorite to make?
Oh, and I'm just so traditional. I love creme brulee. Just simple egg, cream, sugar.
Me too.
And, you know, I get annoyed. I order it out a lot because I love it, and also because, you know, I need to taste test and test other chefs' creme brulees, right? And I get so annoyed if it comes and there's like a cookie stuck in it, or there's berries on it, or whipped cream, because I just want the creme brulee. It's all about the crack. Don't mess with my sugar. You know, just give it to me just without anything stuck in it.
But here's the one that I love. I agree with you wholeheartedly, but a real, like, shaved vanilla bean, the real authentic, not that artificial flavoring.
Right.
Real vanilla bean in there.
Well, I use vanilla bean paste, so I sort of cheat. I never use the extract, but I use the paste, because vanilla beans are expensive and they dry out. But the paste has the little flecks in it, so people think you used the vanilla bean, but you didn't.
That's always, that's the tip of the day. And that's why you are the queen of the coop. But Lisa, it was such a pleasure talking to you again. We always enjoy having you on. It's always such a joy. Please share social media, website, anything like that before you go, because we want to make sure that everyone goes out, purchases the Fresh Eggs Daily Cookbook, over 100 fabulous recipes to use eggs in unexpected ways. And I'm sure when you're going, you'll explain this, but your social medias are wildly successful. I think your Facebook is over to 300,000 or 400,000 or 500,000 likes.
650,000.
650,000, Don. Listen to that. Nice. That is amazing, and it goes to show why you are indeed the queen of the coop. Please share any information before you go.
Yes. Super easy, at Fresh Eggs Daily on Fresh Eggs Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. My blog is fresheggsdaily.com, and the book is The Fresh Eggs Daily Cookbook. And if you want to get chickens, my first book was also called Fresh Eggs Daily, and it talks about raising chickens.
No problem. Thanks so much. And I told you that was an excellent segment. Have a great night.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. But Don, always lots of fun to talk to Lisa. Yeah. She is indeed the queen of the coop, but wildly successful. She's always on all of the national media outlets. But we're going to get a little bit closer to home. Lisa's in Maine. It's a little too chilly for me to mess around with Maine in this time of year. But we're going to talk to Marcos Espinoza. He is the owner of Side Project Jerky. They're a local brand based out of a little out of Philadelphia, Lafayette Hill, Pennsylvania. And they are producing some wonderful jerky. We're going to have Tom jump in, because in studio we've got a whole spread of these wonderful flavors. And Tom had a bite of it, and I just saw his eyes pop out for a second.
Yeah, it didn't take long at all, right?
No.
Like immediate reaction?
It was like...
Wow, flavor and also the texture of it was phenomenal.
Phenomenal. So, Marcos, you've got yourself a wonderful brand here. Everyone in studio is really, really enjoying the product that you're putting out. So we want to thank you for that. But we want to know, first of all, what is the product? How did you make it so delicious and great, and what it is? How's it going tonight, pal?
How are you? How are you? Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks. Our pleasure.
So love to hear the kudos. Love to hear the kudos. So a little bit about the brand. I started it 10 years ago, as the name would suggest, as a side project. And the kind of, I guess, the whole idea behind it was to provide a side project for chefs. So I wanted to collaborate with local chefs, or really kind of anyone who would be interested in creating a beef jerky flavor, because the category is, I don't want to say it's stale, but it's pretty monotonous. You see a lot of the same things, right? You've got your teriyaki flavor or your peppered flavor. And I just think that jerky has so much more versatility. And so tapping local chefs has been a really, really great thing for us. So really, I mean, I, you know, kind of started it as any other, you know, kind of, you know, dream, you know, pipe dream starts, right? You start making stuff in your kitchen, you see what works, and then you go from there. So that's kind of what I did. I had a food dehydrator, and I made some different flavors, some different marinades, and everybody seemed to really like what I was doing. So then I decided that, hey, why don't bring it to market? And so I found a co-packer. So right now, the jerky is made in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, from pastured cows in Lancaster County. And then, like I said, we do we work with chefs. Kind of their vision is what really fuels our passion.
It's a great product, and as we mentioned, one of the ones that we really enjoyed was the one that you teamed up with Chef Jen Carroll. It's the Berbera.
Burberry. You like that one? Good.
Oh, the fantastic. I mean, Don, You said it was like butter in your mouth.
Yeah, it has a nice chew to it. It's not real stringy like a lot of jerky is. The flavor is top notch,
without a doubt. And the spice mix is spot on. It was fantastic.
That's amazing. So interestingly enough, that spice blend comes from a woman-owned business in Minnesota. Company is called Workanish Spices, and her father emigrated to the States, I guess back in the 60s or whenever it was, when he was a professor, and he actually cultivated the pepper they use in that spice blend at a university, lab. And so it is literally a proprietary pepper that we are using for that spice blend, which is pretty cool. You can't get it anywhere else.
Well, they've got gold in that spice,
yes,
right? Must be specks of gold they're putting out, because it's a wonderful spice. But one of the things that came, it was an immediate question once we were handing out some of the samples in studio. One of the individuals said, "Hey, where can I find this?" And I said, "Not yet. We're going to have Marcus on. He's going to explain everything of where you can find it, how you can find. So most important to anyone who's listening, where can you find the product and how can they procure it?"
So probably the quickest path to product would be going to our website, which is sideprojectjerky.com. And I actually did set up a 15% off discount code. So with using the code SMALLBITES15, you can get an order in, and that'll ship within 2 to 3 days. You can also find us at DeBruno Brothers. So we're at all of the DeBruno Brothers locations in and around Philadelphia. We just actually, and this is a big win for us, which we're really, really proud of, is we just launched in Wegmans. So Wegmans actually took on the Burberry flavor and the Mongolian flavor, and they are distributing at all 106 of their stores.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that was kind of a long time in the making, but we really worked at it, and we are there now, and now we're starting to talk to other grocery stores, other bigger chains, and so hopefully you'll start to see Side Project Jerky become much more of a household brand. But yeah, best way, sideprojectjerky.com. Or if you are local to Philly, DeBruno Brothers probably. River Wards Produce as well in Fishtown. They're about to open another location, which is really cool. You can find us at a couple of breweries as well. Human Robot, Fermentary Form, Wissahickon Brewing. They've all been really – I love City as well, so – so we find that the jerky pairs very, very well with a nice cold beer.
Without a doubt.
So they've been very good to us as well.
That's wonderful. Now, how many varieties of flavor do you have currently?
So we have 5 flavors. Two of the flavors I came up with on my own. The first one was the Mongolian flavor, which is, I would say, probably your most standard beef jerky flavor. It's got fresh ginger, fresh garlic, a little sesame oil. We finish it off with brown sugar and sesame seeds. So it's got a really, it's beautiful. When you take it out of the bag, it also has a real nice texture, because you get that jerky chew, and then you get a little crunch from the sesame seeds that are, collected in and out of that. And then our next flavor is Southwestern, which is an homage to my parents who grew up in New Mexico. I actually grew up in Utah, and we would take a road trip every year during Hatch chili season, and we would literally buy a year's worth of green chili. And my parents had a big chest freezer in the basement, and we would eat green chili all day and every day. So that one's made with roasted green chili, cumin, and cayenne pepper. Our next flavor is really unique. It's pho. So it's just like the Vietnamese noodle soup. And we collaborated with Sean McGee, who right now, I believe, is working at Laser Wolf. as a bartender, but at the time he was working with the group that runs Bar, Heritage, Garage, and he came up with this. It's really a carbon copy of the Vietnamese noodle soup, but it's portable. It's beautiful, beautiful, big, bold flavors there. We have a flavor we call Cowboy, and that's actually a collaboration with Rival Brothers Coffee Roasters. So John Adams and Damien, they're friends of mine, and John came up with this really cool idea of having a jerky that tasted a little bit like burnt ends. So that's made with Rival Brothers Coffee, smoked paprika, balsamic vinegar. So it's kind of like a sweet and smoky sort of flavor. And then we talked about the Burberry, which is with Chef Jen Carroll. And again, that's kind of a more citrusy sweet heat. But they're all very unique. And really the kind of long-term plan is to just get more chefs involved or more people involved and come up with flavors that are really creative and really approachable.
And I really love how you've gotten the chefs involved. And that was one of the first things that you mentioned, Don, was all of the chefs that you read about with them.
Yeah, I was impressed with the Rival Brothers flavor and the beef jerky.
Yeah.
Kudos to them. They're a very good coffee company. I work with them very well together, many projects.
Maybe you could work together for an espresso flavored jerky.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of an espresso flavored coffee, Don?
I always do.
well, Don is volunteering his services for an espresso flavored jerky. If you ever wanted to make that, but do you have any plans for any upcoming flavors that are in the works?
So I got one thing up my sleeve, and I really need to get out to Gettysburg to test it. So when. And this really kind of speaks to my love of Philly and my love of Philly food. When I started the brand, one of the flavors we had was actually a cheesesteak flavor.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And so, yeah, so any listeners, please don't steal that yet. But I was making it, and the co-packer actually had to stop making it because dairy is an allergen. And so we were making it with cheese powder. And so we had to discontinue it, unfortunately. But we have kind of not necessarily found a loophole, but I believe he rewrote his HACCP plan, which is just kind of like a plan, like basically tells the USDA like what you're making, how you're making it, and so on and so forth. And so now it includes dairy. And so I believe in the next month or so we're going to be out there testing a cheesesteak flavor, which I'm very excited to bring back in the rotation.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And I know, especially with all of the products that we have here, that you've got the mindset to get it done, because there's no doubt in my mind that you're going to make it happen without a doubt. Now, we've got two questions. Here's the one, we'll finish it up. The first question is there any chef out there, they don't have to be local, because I know the majority of all the chefs that you've collaborated with have been local. Any chef anywhere, even if it's a celebrity chef, that you would just love to collaborate with, especially now that you're in Wegmans, you've got that Wegmans pool. Tell them, say, listen, Wegmans, we're going to get the big guns with us now. Is there anyone that you would love to collaborate with?
Yeah, well, locally, I would love to collaborate with Mike Solomonov. I, love what he's. I've been, kind of following his journey since Zahav opened 10, 11 years ago, whenever it was.
Maybe he's, you can make like a lamb jerky of that amazing lamb that they make there.
Yeah, it's one of the best things I've ever eaten, and I mean that wholeheartedly. It's so good. I would love. Anything that, I mean, he's a very creative chef, really, really dynamic, and his flavors really, really, I think would do well with the brand. So it'd be great to get him involved. If we're talking like bigger, like, kind of, I guess, more nationally, although he's pretty well renowned in his own right. I don't know. I guess if we're talking like even middle of, or, you know, not middle America, but a big name. I mean, it would. I think it'd be
anyone.
Hilarious to have, like, a Guy Fieri jerky, right? Something that would just be.
But that would work, you know, well. I can see how I he think, would work well with your brand, because he's such a colorful character, and he would be up for any flavor as long as it has, like, because his whole thing's Flavor Town. Yeah. So it's like,
right.
You know, it's going to be flavorful if you're bringing him on board.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, yeah.
But I have to say, Marcus, 100%, you've already heard everyone in here raving about the product. You don't need to hear it from us. You're wildly successful. You've signed with Wegmans and things like that, which are well-deserved. The product is fantastic. It's one of a kind. It's one of the best jerkies I've had personally in a long time, and Don and Tom agree, and we wish you the best of luck and all of the success, and make sure you keep us abreast of any updates or any news that you have, because we definitely want to know. But Marcus Espinosa, the owner of Side Project Jerky, please give out a website, social media link, anything like that before you go, buddy.
Absolutely. And again, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun. You can find our jerky at sideprojectjerky.com. Again, that's the easiest way to order. And if you use code SMALLBITES15, you can get a 15% discount. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at sideprojectjerky. That's all one word. And remember, jerky is J-E-R-K-Y. My personal Instagram, which is a little bit more ridiculous and comical, is Fidel Gastro, F-I-D-E-L-G-A-S-T-R-O. That's kind of my digital footprint there. So check me
awesome.
Out.
Awesome. We appreciate it. We'll put Tom to work on trying to get that promo code out to all the Wildfire channels as well. Small Bites 15 to get a discount on the jerky. Tom enjoyed it. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
You
good
too.
Night, Marcus.
But, you know, we've got to spice the show up a little bit, Don. You know why?
A little bit of jazz.
A little jazz. Shh. Even better idea. Jazz it up a little bit. And do you know who's the perfect person to get things jazzed up in here? Little class.
Yeah, Mark Wilson.
Mark
Wilson's.
Milson's Restaurant and Live Music Lounge in High Nella, New Jersey. That just sounds
Hello,
classy.
Guys. How are you guys doing this evening?
We are doing fantastic, Mark. I mean, just rolling that whole name off the tongue, even the city. High Nella. That just sounds
Nella.
Jazzy.
I mean, you know, when you come to High Nella, which is only 0.22 square miles, which equals out to about 102 acres. And I'm a mathematician by trade, but I'll just say this. It's a wonderful city. I love this city and the people that are in it and the surrounding areas.
Without a doubt. And you are filling a niche that has long been missing in at least this portion of South Jersey. Obviously, South Jersey on the eastern side has Atlantic City, and they have world-class lounges and arenas and venues, but it's always been the western side of South Jersey's been a little neglected. And what you guys have been able to do, you and your wife, you've brought aboard Chef Elijah Milligan. You've really transformed a place with amazing live music performances from blues, R&B, jazz, and more. Tell us, what was it that you saw, where you saw the potential and the reason being of how Wilson's Restaurant and Live Music Lounge came about?
Well, I thank you so very much. Originally from Florida, by means of Chicago and New Orleans, met my beautiful wife, and at the time, I was working as a chemist at ExxonMobil. I did 30 years with them, and I think that very great company. I grew up in this business, the restaurant tier business. I'm still managing three of the business in Chicago, but my wife did not want to move to Chicago. And I loved her so much, I moved to the East Coast, believe it or not. And there was a void here. And the void had to be filled. When I did demographics and I looked at everything, I found that South Jersey, interestingly enough, Lawnside was the mecca back between 1930 and 1970 for, I would say, urban entertainment. And right now, there's nothing there. There's this big, huge hole. And so I decided to do something for South Jersey and the surrounding community, along with Philadelphia. I wanted to bring the vibe of Chicago, the jazz of New Orleans, and the essence of just overall great vibrations, feelings, and food. You know, those are the great things that go together. Great time.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And also, Don raved about the venue itself. You said how wonderful it is inside, didn't you, Don?
It's where it's a class act. I mean, Mark, you really outdid yourself with the performances and the bands that you book are all top notch, great singers.
The ambiance you were.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to eat there, but I heard a lot of great things about your food. You had your braised short ribs, grilled lamb chops.
Ooh.
An oxtail grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yum.
Yeah, we do the Old Bay wings. I mean, we have a variety of food for everyone we can satisfy every palate. Tonight, our happy hour on Sundays and Wednesdays from 5 to 7. I'm currently in the building right now in the back, so if you hear some feedback, it's because of the loud music and everyone having a great and fantastic time. But we have a diverse menu that's going to excite the mind and pleasure your palate.
Now, in regards to performances and things of that nature, is it every single night? Do you have to buy tickets? How does someone plan their night out at Wilson's? Give us the breakdown of the perfect way to have a fantastic night.
Well, the perfect way to have a fantastic night is just showing up. But the right way to do it is you go to wilsonslivemusic.com. That's our website. You go to our events calendar. You find the show that you want to go to. You purchase those tickets. And that's your reservation for the night. And you just come in and you enjoy the show. Just one second.
So say someone just wants to come to the restaurant. Is the restaurant show only, reservation only? Is there any walk-in policy?
I am so sorry. I didn't hear you. I apologize.
Oh, that's no problem at all. Say someone is coming and just read about Wilson's and stopped by. Is there a walk-in policy? Can we come any night of the week, or is it always a performance and a ticket required?
Well, every day. I'm closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, number one. But we have been so overwhelmed that we always ask to make a reservation. We do walk-ins, and all of those folks are directed toward the bar area, bar seating, the table seating by the bar. But typically, and we've just been so blessed and so honored that every show basically has been sold out maybe a week, 2 weeks in advance. So that this is why I said there's such a niche market here. These folks are just, you know what, we've been stuck in the house for almost 2 years. So everybody wants to come out right now. But my COVID-19 policy is that I only allow a certain number of people in the building. We can host over 400 people, but I want to keep those numbers down low. That's why we limit the people that can come in.
And also, from what I understand, you're keeping a certain vibe, classy atmosphere that you don't want people just coming in jeans and T-shirts. That it, like Don mentioned, it's a night out.
It's
an experience, and there is a light dress code, correct?
Yes, I do not allow gym shoes, designer gym shoes, or sneakers or whatever you guys call them on the East Coast. That's not allowed. No baseball hats inside. Everyone comes out, they're dressed up, they're out for a great time, and the most beautiful experience. And you know, when you get people to come in with gym shoes on and blue jeans, it kind of, you know, it downclasses the place a little bit. So I have a dress code policy. It is on our website, wilsonslivemusic.com, and you can read all about that. But we ask that if the folks do come out, just adhere to it.
Without a doubt, because you want to, like you said, you want to present yourself in a certain way, and it's a vibe that you're putting out. And some places just want to have a certain sort of a atmosphere. I mean, look, like Hop Sing Laundry in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
they have
yeah.
a very, very strict dress code, and there's really no blowback to it. They always have lines out the door, and of course you've got some people that aren't aware of it, but it gives that impression, and especially the overall experience.
It's a dinner and a show.
Now what's been one of your favorite performances so far that you've been able to witness at Wilson's?
Well, oh my goodness, you're putting me on the spot. I believe every band that we've had has been incredible. And each and every day, they become even better.
But there has to be someone that we really enjoyed.
Oh, wow. That's a really tough question.
Let's go this way. If you can't think of that, is there someone that you're really looking forward to who's going to be coming soon?
I believe the way that my booking agent, and his name is Christopher Odom, he has always booked the top talent here. And each night is a different night. It's a different experience. And having live music, the horns, the trumpets, the guitars, the bass, the violins, all of these things are different. They're great in their own aspect, but every band is unique in its own way. So I really can't put a thumb on and say who I enjoyed the best. I enjoy them all.
And that goes to show you right there the amount of quality entertainment that you're putting out there, that no matter what day of the week you show up, you shouldn't be disappointed if one of your friends say, oh, I just saw so-and-so, and you're like, darn, I should have went to that one. But the day that they show up, they'll be blown away by what they see for their performance as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Every band that I've had here thus far has been amazing. Local talent, international talent, Grammy-running artists. We really thrive on bringing back the old school, meaning a dinner and a real show. And I'm a stickler on that, and I just want everyone to walk away with a great experience. We are a new restaurant. We're a music venue. We're an event space, basically, and we want everybody to leave here feeling great, feeling satisfied. That's our goal at the end of the day.
And obviously, you have a wonderful chef on board who's overseeing the menu and executing the dishes for you guys. Do you know if you guys and the chef are going to have a seasonal menu or rotating menu, or are you pretty comfortable with what you guys have and that's going to be where it's at for a while?
Well, my executive chef, Elijah Milligan, this guy is a phenomenal person just by himself, but his qualities in that kitchen, he is like a genius, and we are seasonal. We will change as the seasons change, and he's just incredible. People leave here talking about the food, talking about the experience. It's the food helps the experience. It helps the live show. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit hoarse, but he is just a wonderful human being, number one, and just so creative in the kitchen. He's been winning award shows since the age of 14. when you guys come here and you experience this food, you're going to know that we have the best quality, we have the best service, and more importantly, the taste. You don't need a salt and pepper shaker at the table. We send you the food the way it's supposed to be served. And he pays attention to detail. This guy, you know, he's my rain man, I should say. He's just a genius.
He makes sure that the food is seasoned, because you don't, like you said, if you don't need a salt and pepper shaker on the table, that means the season is being put out perfectly in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Now,
and I never limit his creativity. I do have staples on my menu, but I allow him to have all the freedom that he needs in the back of the house.
That's amazing, and that's I'm sure he appreciates that, because we always equate chefs to artists, and if they have an empty canvas to be able to paint on, you never know when that Mona Lisa is gonna pop out. But you were saying, Don, that you were impressed about the size of the space and the venue, of how large it is.
It's very big when you go in, but you feel like
intimate,
correct, right there. Everything's beautifully laid out. There's not one bad seat in the house.
Oh, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Not. You know, I poured a lot of money into this place for my beautiful wife. She wanted me to do this venue for South Jersey, Philadelphia area. So, you know, as they say, happy wife, happy life. And
yeah, amen.
I didn't spare any expense, I'll tell you this much. I'm very happy and very blessed that the community has come out and received this place well. We are new. There are going to be mistakes that are made, but, you know, our biggest issue is hiring people, trained, experienced people, but we're working through it. Every business is going through that right now.
Yeah, very true. They definitely are. I know a lot of restaurateurs are in the same boat as you are, and they're all just pressing forward and doing the best they can with what they have.
And even supply chain issues, yep. Training staff. Training staff. I mean, Don said how difficult it is to get out. And as we all know, Don of D&L Coffee Services, he's the premier bean to barista service, and he's putting machines into these locations left and right. And he said that he'll train one barista today, and next thing you know, you're getting a call a week. They left. Could you come out and do training for someone else?
Nowadays. COVID really affected the entire country, whether we know it or not. Gas is $3.56 a gallon. A gallon of milk is $4. A loaf of bread is $2 and change. So, you know, COVID really has messed us, this country up, the supply chain. Sometimes you can get 6 cases of chicken wings, and sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can get beef shortribs, and sometimes you can't. It's just a very limited supply of things that we have. This is one reason that the menu has to change and always evolve, because supply chain.
Exactly. And we've heard nothing but rave reviews, even dessert service. I understand that you guys are very successful in that end as well. Do you have an in-house pastry chef, or are you guys bringing?
I do, and all of our food is made scratch here. So when guests come here, it's going to take at least 20 to 30 minutes for you to get your entree. We don't have heat lamps. We don't do anything like that. I refuse to have those. Food has to be made and prepared freshly. I believe you get the best experience like that.
That's the perfect way to do it. Chef,
I have some amazing chefs in place, and they are doing an excellent job. I take pride in the folks that I have here. Nothing to me is more important than my staff. Their well-being, health. I have a very limited staff, so I don't try to overwork them. And I tell you what, the commitment that I get from them, I feel like we're a family here, and I absolutely adore them.
Well, Mark, as we said, we've heard nothing but rave reviews. People have been thrilled with the performances. As you've mentioned, You're selling out performances 2 to 3 weeks in advance, which is a testament to how well you guys are doing, the quality of entertainment that you're bringing in, the entrees, the food's amazing, the pastry chef and the desserts and the everything of that's coming out. And with dessert comes a wonderful coffees and espressos that everyone Absolutely. Enjoys afterwards. So I'm sure you guys are putting out the top of the line in those sort of things. And we wish you the best of luck. But before you go, please share a website, social media, anything like that before you go.
Well, I want to say, first and foremost, thank you guys for allowing me to be on this podcast. I'm very thankful for it. Our website is wilsonslivemusic.com. Our address is 709 South Warwick Road, in the great city of Hynilla, New Jersey. We can be reached at 856-602-1262. Also, I would love to let everyone know that we are starting our brunch menu starting on March 11th from 11 to 3. We're going to have a jazz brunch, something that's very much needed in this community, from 11 to 3 on Sundays. And every other Sunday, I'll have a gospel brunch. It's going to be
awesome.
Pictures of mimosas. It's going to be a great time. I want to thank you guys so much for allowing me to come on the radio with you guys, this podcast. And I hope to see you guys soon.
Definitely
will.
Our pleasure, and brunch is a great idea. That gets everybody woken up in the morning with good coffee and espresso. Get their morning started right. Have a great night.
Hey, thank you.
Have
bye-bye,
a good night.
Guys.
Bye-bye. Yeah, brunch is a great idea.
Right? Brunch is always a good idea, especially with mimosas and espresso and cappuccino lattes and whatever goes with it.
And get everybody warmed up. Get them all jazzed up in Hynilla.
Hynilla.
But tiny little town.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that small.
Yeah, I mean, a town that size, but no show is complete without talking to Pennsylvania's most
Influential
chef. Thank you, Don. You've been a big help tonight. Of Pennsylvania's Cooking Light magazine. Chef Barbie Marshall. How's it going tonight, Chef Barbie?
It's going great. How are you guys tonight?
We are doing fantastic,
Barbie,
as well. And you enjoyed the finer things in life, I hope, of the Main Line recently?
I did. So if you didn't know, the Main Line, today, Restaurant Week, has returned, and it goes through until March 6th. So I had a chance to go out and preview some of the restaurants that are involved. They are working with some of the Vetri restaurants, and so that they had a tasting with Anise, Pizzeria Vetri, and they were just absolutely amazing. About 30 different restaurants are participating. Perrin Cafe, another one of the Vetri Group restaurants. Mikado Thai Pepper, Limoncello. So it's just an amazing, 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 amazing week of drink specials and food specials. We got to preview this tuna sandwich that was just absolutely amazing with olive oil. The pizzas at Vetri were just the margarita, and those was fire ovens are just amazing. So if you get
sounds
a chance,
like you had it, yourself a wonderful time.
Definitely did. Definitely did. Did a Field of Bloom, which was just completely just delicious violet drink that was enemies, and you just have to go try it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Barbie Marshall. It's always a joy to hear from you. And we look forward to hearing from you again very soon. Have yourself a great night.
You too.
Thank you. All right, Don.
Good night, Barbie.
Wrap it up, buddy.
Yeah, this is Donato Marino with D&L Bean the Barista Service. You can find us on Facebook, or you can give me a call at 215-365-5521 to answer any needs that you have.
And ShamWow?
And Sham Rock and Roll will be March 5th. 1541 Chester Pike, Fallcroft, PA. You can also find us on Delco Shamrock and Roll on Facebook.
Ooh.
All the information. And free ham and cabbage all day.
Hot diggity dog. All right, buddy. Derek Tim, BlueJeanFood.com. Thank you to everyone who joined us. I'm not going to read it out. We're syndicated. Go find us. I'm done with all. Just Google us. Have a great night. Joke of the week, Jackie the Joke Man Martlin. Have a good night.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling here for Small Bites. Johnson's very old, so his son puts him in assisted living. The first night during dinner, his father starts to lean over to the left. An attendant runs over and straightens him up. A little while later, his father starts to lean over to the right. The attendant runs over and straightens him up again. That night, Johnson's son called and says, "So how is it there, Pop?" Johnson says, it's not too bad, sonny boy. Yeah, today I played badminton and then I went in the pool. And you know, the food's not too bad, but it's not too bad at all here, sonny boy. But you know, it's the damnedest thing. They won't let you fart." Follow me on Twitter. Great jokes every day at 4:20 p.m. At Jackie Martling, J-A-C-K-I-E-M-A-R-T-L-I-N-G.